the Unity Retreat. He was a huge help in helping us get everybody registered and helping Sarah out. So with no further introduction, I give you Colin Kay from Sunday Survivors.
Hello everybody, my name is Colin and I'm an addict. I want to ask the committee, or thank the committee for asking me to speak. It has been a while since I've done this, and you know, it's not everybody's favorite part of service, but it is, it's always been important for me to give back. And you know, whenever I get asked to speak, I realize I do this, you know, to share my experience, strength, and hope for other people, but it also helps me because most of the time when I get up here, I try not to like script it too much. Sometimes whatever needs to come out just will come out when I'm up here. And so I guess I'll just kind of get started. I didn't know my topic before I got here. I assumed it was youth and recovery, and I didn't know I was going first, so sort of winging it, so you guys are gonna have to bear with me just a little bit. But so I got a text from Seth a couple of months ago, and he said, how old were you when you got clean? So that's why I kind of assumed that was gonna be my topic. And so my clean date is October 10th of 2015. I was 21 years old when I walked into these rooms, and you know, I was not even close to 21 mentally. There's a saying that I'm kind of paraphrasing, that you know, when you get clean, you are the age you were mentally, like when you started using. And so when I started using, I was about 13 or 14 years old. And you know, I realized that when I got here, I'd spent the better part of the years that all of my peers were spending growing up not doing that. I was not growing up. I was doing the opposite of growing up, because you know, we all know how it is when we're out there using. And it's difficult to come into these rooms at such a young age, because you know, no matter what program you go to, I was drawn to NA. It seems like there's a lot of older people, people that are older than a 21-year-old. So I didn't know if I would be able to fit in. I didn't know if I'd find my place here. And you know, all I knew is that it took me a lot of years to finally ask for help, but I knew I needed help, I think, for a long time before then. I guess I'll go over a little bit about how I ended up here and you know, how I earned my seat, because it helped me early on to hear people share their beginning and how they got here, because it helped me to be able to relate to certain people and figure out who I wanted to surround myself with, what talking points I could have. So I grew up in a family that was not broken. My parents were both around. I had a lot of cousins that I spent time with growing up. I lived in a safe place. I never worried where my next meal was going to come. And you know, even with all of that stuff, all of the, you know, fortune that I had growing up, there was still something in me, I think, always looking back on it now, there were signs. And I remember my mom specifically, because I think a lot of the way that I am comes from her side of the family. I remember her being like overly dramatic about situations that I did not think were very serious growing up. Like, she seemed to care a lot more than my friends' parents about like drinking, or a lot more than my friends' parents did about, you know, anything that could potentially become addictive. And I think it's because she saw that in me from a really early age. And I, you know, looking back now, I see it, but I didn't at the time. And so I started using when I was 14, and at first, like for a lot of people, it was just social. Like, I would go to parties on weekends, I would hang out with people outside of school, and I was always somebody that kind of was friends with everybody. I participated in sports. My parents had me like playing instruments. So I had all these interests and all these things that I did. And then once I found drugs, slowly but surely all those things started to fall off. And you know, I played basketball for like 11 years, and all of a sudden, like, I had no interest in that anymore. I enjoyed playing instruments, but all of a sudden I had no interest in those anymore. Like, once I found the drugs, it seemed to me to fill all of those voids that I thought that I had, or didn't realize that I had until I found them. And, you know, throughout the course of high school, like probably junior and senior year, it just progressively kept getting worse. It transitioned from weekends to daily, nightly, whenever I could, without my parents, you know, noticing, or I'm sure they noticed, but without them catching me. And like I said, I turned around one day and I had stopped playing basketball and convinced myself that I just wasn't interested anymore, but in reality it was just taking up too much of my time. I didn't hang out with people that I hung out with for years because they weren't interested in the same things that I was interested in. They didn't have what I wanted. And I kind of just dove into using because I thought that it was the most free I had ever felt. It made me feel like myself. And so it was, like I'm sure it is for a lot of people here, it was a lot of fun in the beginning. I felt like I had taken control of my life in a way that I hadn't before. I felt, you know, that sense of rebellion that's super appealing at that age, and I felt like I could be myself when I was around other people. And that kind of, you know, slowly turned into me being like the last one standing at parties. If there was anything left, I don't understand why anyone would be sleeping. Like, if there was still beer to be drunk, why were people leaving? Why were people, like, that was just my mindset all the time with no matter what it was. And, you know, it got to the point where like a couple of my people that I hung out with all the time would say like little remarks like, all right, dude, like, let's just go home. Let's chill. And those were like, kind of the first seeds of me like realizing that I might be a little bit different than some of my friends that just kind of used recreationally. So fast forward to after high school, I managed to get decent enough grades to get into college, and I went to school in Chicago for a year because it was super far away from the South Hills of Pittsburgh, and I felt like nobody could tell me what to do there. And nobody could, and so I did exactly what I wanted, and it wasn't college. you know, it was the first time in my life that I really felt like I had no constraints and that I was free to just do whatever I wanted. And everything went downhill way more quickly than I could have imagined at that point. You know, within like a semester, I wasn't going to school. I was not going to classes. Like, I had an apartment. I had a couple friends that wanted to use, and that's just what we did. And so when I came home the first semester, my parents were like, how's everything going? You know, is everything okay? How are your grades? This, that, and the other. And I, you know, told them everything's fine. Grades are decent. Just tried to play cool, you know, getting my footing, trying to figure things out. And, you know, they probably knew that I was not doing that great and that I was probably lying to them, but they went with it. And so I went back for a second semester and somehow it got even worse. And by the time I came home, they knew things were not okay. And so that kind of led me to like my deepest, almost the bottom of my addiction. Once I moved home and officially left college, I was super depressed. I had felt like I had squandered an opportunity. I went back to the serving job I had before I left for school, and I had really no prospects or plans for where I wanted to take my life. And you know, that lasted for like 2 years, I think, of me just kind of digging deeper and deeper and deeper. And right before my 21st birthday, like a couple weeks before my 21st birthday, I totaled a car, I got a DUI, and then right after my 21st birthday, all within like a month, I totaled another car and got another DUI. And I remember the second time I had called my dad before I called anybody else, because I was right by my house when I hit this tree. And I just remember the look on his face when he came in the car to pick me up. Was the first time like I ever saw my dad look terrified and like absolutely scared, had no idea what to do. You know, he brought me home. He didn't know if we should call the police, if we should leave the car and abandon, like, he was freaking out. I was just like completely out of it. But I distinctly remember the look in his eyes, because I had never seen that look before, and it hurt me that I caused that. And so that next day, I went into my job, to my manager. I told him I'm gonna need to take some time. I remember telling my dad the next day, like, I need help. It was the first time I said those words, I need help, I can't stop. Because I planned on stopping after the first one. I knew that I needed to get my life together and get a plan, but I couldn't stop. I couldn't slow down. I couldn't switch substances anymore. Nothing was working. I had tried it all. So that was the first time I admitted that I needed help. And I didn't want to go anywhere near my house to get help, because I knew I couldn't trust myself to come out of rehab and not reach out to the people that I still knew. I'd never been really exposed to recovery in any way before, besides what TV shows give us as NA or AA meetings. Some of them do a somewhat decent job, some of them don't. But I came out here. I came to Indiana to get clean because my dad knew somebody that worked with treatment facilities, like helping to write their programs, and we had no idea where to go. So he called him, and the same day that he called him, the guy had found a bed for me at a facility out here. And I said, okay, packed a couple changes of clothes, and my dad took me that day to treatment. So I was 21 years old. I didn't know if I wanted to be clean, but I knew I couldn't get, I knew I couldn't stop using on my own. I had proven that too many times. So I was kind of just done fighting. And, you know, when I got to treatment, the first couple weeks was a lot of just detox and then in-house stuff. And the facility that I went to was brand new when I went there, so they hadn't even had, like, it was me and one other 62-year-old guy that needed way more help than this facility had to offer. I remember the first 2 weeks of rehab for me was sitting in a chair with the Carbonero Effect on TV, and he would just like pace around for hours in between groups all day. That's basically what I did. So I was like, this is strange. I don't know if this is for me at all. But after those couple weeks, after my head started to clear up a little bit, and I started to feel like, you know, I had control of my mind a little bit, I started to feel normal again. I started to like feel safe. For the first time in a really long time when I was there, like after, you know, the drugs had kind of gotten out of my system, and after I'd gotten through the detox and started to get a couple of good nights rest, like it dawned on me one day that I wasn't anxious that I owed somebody money. I wasn't worried that someone was looking for me. I didn't get up thinking, how am I going to get to this today? My boss wasn't calling me like, where are you? It's 2 hours past. But like, I just woke up. I had breakfast and I went and sat in a chair and I was like, wow, like, this is pretty cool. I feel calm. This is what calm feels like. Because before, I thought calm was after I like went to work to get the money that I needed or did whatever I needed to do to finally get what I wanted in my hands. Like that was my calm before. Sometimes when that happened, it was great. Sometimes it didn't happen and who knows what I had to do or how long it was going to be before I could feel that feeling again. I mean, it's always kind of seeking that feeling, like, okay, I got it, I'm good. But, you know, sitting in that chair the one day, I was like, wow, this, I could get used to this. And, you know, the facility started to admit more patients, and eventually we went to WIDAI. That was the first meeting that I ever went to for NA. And I walked through the door, and there was a greeter, and he gave me a hug, and I sat and I listened to the speaker, and people came up and talked to me after the meeting because I went up and got a key tag, and it was the first time in years that I felt truly like I might belong somewhere and that there was a place for me. People asked me what my name was. They asked me how I'm doing. They asked me if I needed anything. They offered me their phone number, and over the course of the next, like, couple of weeks here, I got to actually meet some people that became familiar faces to me, and I became familiar faces in some of these rooms. And I hadn't had that sense of belonging in a really long time. And so that was kind of my first introduction to NA. And again, at this point, like, it's, you know, in the back of my head, there was always that I'm still 21. I can't not drink alcohol. I can't not use for the rest of my life. That's absurd. And, you know, I just, especially with alcohol, for me, it was just everywhere. I was like, how am I going to go to parties or whatever? Like, even if I become an adult, like, everybody drinks. Like, I just, you know, I didn't know there was another way to live until I met some people in NA, and I started hearing people get up to pick up key tags with like 20 years clean. And I'm like, what? Like, you haven't done anything for 20 years? Like, that's insane. But they seemed happy. They seemed content. They seemed okay in their own skin. And those were three things right off the bat that I knew I wanted. They were very appealing to me. I didn't feel like I could ever just be myself. I was always kind of a chameleon. I could fit in with different friend groups. I could say what needed to be said. I could act the way these people needed me to act over here, and then the same night go hang out at a party over here with a completely different crowd and fit in there too. Because for me, it was always about adapting in some way to be able to get what I wanted. And so I lost myself in all those years, or stop trying to find myself in all those years, is probably more what it was. I wasn't growing up. I wasn't discovering my interests. I wasn't trying to set goals and build a life for myself. I was so single-mindedly trying to achieve just getting the next one that it really was animalistic. It felt animalistic. I ate when I absolutely needed to. You know what I mean? Like, I slept when I couldn't stay awake anymore. And then once I got to rehab, you know, all of that kind of changed, and I started to listen to what some of the people in here had to say. Just for today was a really big one, especially being young, because, like I said, it's hard to not think in the long term. Like, how am I supposed to not do this for the rest of my life? And you keep hearing, like, it's just for today, like, just get another one today, just don't use today. And then that suddenly becomes like my mantra every day. When I wake up, I'm just not gonna use today. I'm gonna get through the day, and no matter what happens, I'm just not gonna use. That was a simple goal that I could achieve early on. And then I started hearing people say, like, you need to get a sponsor. Then I hear people start talking about steps. So I picked a sponsor. The guy I heard speak at that first meeting, I asked him to be my sponsor. I wanted to check that box. So I checked that box. I called him for a couple weeks from rehab. He stopped answering. You know, that was whatever. I checked the box. I'd already asked the guy to be my sponsor. I got over that awkward hurdle. But by the time he kind of stopped answering my phone calls again, I'd gotten to know some of the people in the rooms. And so I got to kind of see how some people carried themselves. I got to hear people share. I got to know them outside of the rooms a little bit, what they had, did they have a wife, did they have kids, what did they value, like, you know, stuff like that. And I was able to pick a sponsor that I thought had some goals and had a life that I admired. And I worked with him for about a year. And, you know, the main reason that I ended up switching from him after I left the Indiana area was because I was moving to Pittsburgh and I wanted somebody that was a little bit closer by. But, you know, so anyways, I got a sponsor and I started to work some steps. And slowly but surely, a lot of the things that I heard, like get a sponsor, start working steps, get a home group, show up to your home group, get a position, even if it's just making coffee, help breaking down the meeting, put chairs away, help set up the meeting, get chairs out, you know, stuff like that. I started helping out with stuff like that, and before I knew it, like, I had small responsibilities. I was the coffee guy. That meant if I didn't show up to the meeting, coffee wasn't gonna get made. Everybody drinks coffee at meetings, so that means if I don't show up to make the coffee, I'm letting a bunch of people down. And I didn't want to let people down. So I started to show up to my home group and help make the coffee and help set up the meetings. And that gave me a sense of responsibility that I didn't have. People counting on me was something I was not used to. And once I started to achieve these little goals, I felt good about myself. I felt pride. I felt like, okay, I set a goal and I accomplished it. What can I do next? And I started to realize that all these tips and all these advice that I hear around the rooms were to do just that. They were to help me love myself, begin to love myself before I really knew how to. You know, it's said a lot in these rooms, we'll love you until you know how to love yourself. And I think for me, you know, it's tough, especially being young in recovery, because like all those years I was supposed to be figuring out who Colin was, I put them off. So I didn't have any pride in myself. I didn't have any morals. I didn't have any standards. I didn't really have a life to be proud of. So it's no wonder I was so down on myself all the time. But once I started to, you know, get a relationship with a sponsor and I started to work some steps, I started to learn a little bit more about me. And one of the biggest revelations through step work is I wasn't as bad as I thought I was. And that I needed to understand, I think, in order to grow. You know, I started to pay attention to things that bothered me. I started to stand up for myself in situations where maybe I felt like I was being taken advantage of or walked over, because that's not something that I did before. I let people walk on me like a doormat because I just thought that was how I should be treated. I thought that's what I deserved for the longest time. But when I started to do some step work and I started to understand things like having a higher power, or attempting to build a relationship with a higher power, that started to make me have faith that this program works. The people in this program that had what I wanted worked the steps. They had a sponsor, they showed up at home groups, and so I started to just kind of gravitate towards wanting to do those things naturally instead of feeling like I had to do them. And so the steps are really what helped me to, I think, grow up. You know, the steps are kind of daunting when you hear them. You know, I remember specifically, like, I was not a religious person, so anything related to God kind of bugged me. And then obviously step four was just scary to have to share that stuff with somebody else. But, you know, a lot of the step work for me, just simply writing it out and getting my thoughts out on paper, changed the way that I viewed myself. I had thought of myself in this light for all this time. When I start to get into the steps where we're talking about defects of character and assets and all these things, and I look at the answers and I'm like, huh, this is this is me honestly answering these questions, but this is not how I viewed myself before. And so that's when I started to really learn who Colin was, what my assets were, what my defects were, and how I could learn to kind of combat those things or lean into my assets to just try to be a better person. And those types of things and the steps helped me to grow up in a way that I didn't see coming. Essentially what I mean is, usually what happens when I work a step, a couple months later, I see why I worked that step. That's typically what happens to me. Something will come up and I'll be like, oh, okay, that's what step four really meant. Or, oh, okay, that's what this asset really is in terms of like the way it portrays itself in my life. So like, once I started to understand who I was, I realized that like, I was proud of who I was. And it allowed me to be more free. The steps freed me. I wasn't ashamed of interests that I had anymore. You know, I wasn't ashamed to just be who I was. And if somebody didn't like that, cool, that's fine. I don't need them to be my best friend, because that was always one of my biggest problems, especially when using, is that I'd always felt like I needed people to like me. I was a people pleaser, and the steps helped me to realize that, you know, not everybody has to like me, but I can build a we and I can build a group of important people that are my foundation. And that people, that group of people, will help me to grow into the person that I'm supposed to be. And that's essentially what the steps have helped me to do. They've helped to give me the ability to be free, and they've helped to give me faith and courage that this program will work and that I do not have to have all the answers. You know, if you guys are anything like me, when I initially get into a hobby or any new thing, I want to know everything right off the bat. I want to buy all the books, I want to watch all the videos, I want to dig as deep as I possibly can, and it's exciting. That's how recovery was for me in the beginning. I wanted the books, I wanted to start doing the steps, I wanted to dig deep into everything. And you know, my sponsor had to kind of temper my expectations and be like, this takes time. This is not something that you're going to just get overnight. No matter what you read, no matter what you do outside of here, however many people you talk to, that stuff's all gonna help. But you know, the one thing I needed to realize is that this process is just that, it's a process. It takes time. And all that is required in this process is the desire to not use drugs anymore and to want to get better. If I didn't use and if I had a desire to stay clean, I belonged in NA, and that's all I needed to hear. And that still rings true today, because there are long periods of time where I am lazy in my recovery. And I do not do my step work like I should. I do not call my sponsor like I should. I do not reach out to newcomers like I should. I don't show up to meetings like I should. And then there are long periods of time where I do those things. Consistency has been an issue for me. But the two things that I've always maintained is that I do not use, and I have a desire to be clean. With that, that gives me the ability to grow. Sure, there might be some times where I'm stagnant or I might regress a little bit, but all along this road of, you know, this curve, I've learned tools and I've been building my toolbox so that when situations arise, I have the ability to handle them, or I have the resources that I can reach out to help me get through a situation. And that's all part of growing up for me. It's been part of growing up for me. I remember early on, one of the biggest reservations that I had in this program was when my grandfather was gonna pass away, because he was always my best friend. He was the guy in the family I talked to about sports. My parents worked a lot when I was young. He was the guy that took me to all my sporting events and everything. You know, he was the only one I'd call him every Penguins game, every Pirates game, every single time there was a Pittsburgh sporting event, we talk at some point in that day. He was my best friend growing up. And I remember thinking, I don't know what I'm gonna do when I don't have him anymore. Then he passed away a couple of years ago. And this program, the relationships that I built in this program helped me get through that. I didn't tell anybody Like, I didn't post on Facebook, I didn't send text messages out to friends about where his viewing was going to be, where the funeral was going to be. And they lived in Washington, PA, which is very far away from where most of my friends are, in the Pittsburgh area or Indiana area. And right at the end of the viewing hours, my sponsor and four of my other friends walked in through the doors, and I like completely lost it. Because I didn't tell them to come, but they showed up for me when they knew I needed people around me. And you know, that was like one of the most powerful experiences that I've had in this program. And it was an example of this program showing up for me when I needed it, even though I was not in the right mindset to ask for help. You know, that situation was a product of me sticking and staying. It was a product of me building a relationship with a sponsor and a relationship with a we, and that took time. That took multiple years of effort on both sides, going to meetings, hanging out with people, getting to know people, you know, doing step work. All that stuff just inherently builds relationships with other people, and before you know it, you've got some really good friends and people that you can lean on in this room, because, you know, no matter how much time we have clean, life is bound to show up, and there are going to be situations, you know, like my grandfather passing away, there will be more of those. You know, both my parents are still alive, so that inevitably leads me to believe that I will have to go through that again with them someday. But I have the evidence now that if I, you know, stay in the right position in this program, and continue to grow and continue to work on myself, I will have more tools, and I will have, you know, the people that I need to help me get through stuff like that. So, you know, I guess more or less what I'm trying to say is I'm really glad that that I didn't just hang out for a couple months and then go back to using, because I easily could have done that at the age of 21, and it still would have felt not like the wrong decision necessarily to me, because I still, when I got here, was in that mindset that this was just a phase that I was going to grow out of. I think, have enough evidence that that is not true, because my addiction, although I'm not using drugs anymore, my addiction manifests itself in a plethora of other ways that I can use the tools in this program to help me work through. But, you know, I'm a very impulsive purchaser. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm a guy that loves to dive headfirst into hobbies and then kind of pull out after a year, a couple months, whatever it is. That's been a trend of mine that I've had to learn how to deal with because of this program. I've gotten better at certain things. I'm not perfect. You can ask my wife how many hobbies that I pick up and want to get into, because that's still real. But I've learned to do things like at least like try to do some research before I make major purchases now, for an example. But, you know, there's plenty of ways that I still act up because of the traits of being an addict. They're not quite as exemplified anymore because I am not dealing with all of my defects and all of my shortcomings while also being high all the time, because that's exhausting and very difficult. But this program and the steps and talking to other people and having people in my life that hold me accountable has allowed me to at least be able to catch some of these things first or see trends coming, and it's allowed me to manage my life a little bit better. My life doesn't feel as unmanageable anymore. And I share in meetings a lot about this. My life is boring. I go to work, I come home, I read a lot of books, I hang out with my wife and my daughter, I watch sports. I go to bed, I wake up, and I do that again. Sure, I have some hobbies and some things that I do, but like, that's fine with me. I'm happier than I have ever been. I'm 28 years old. I'm happier than I ever thought I would be. And it's because I had faith in this program. I had no idea what was going to happen. If you'd have asked me when I was laying in my piss-protected rehab bed, praying for things that I thought my life was going to look like in 2 or 3 years, 5 years, I never could have imagined what my life is like today. And the ability that the steps had given me to be open-minded and to be free and to be willing to try things and have faith, even if I don't know if they're going to work out or not, are in large part the reason that I have many of the things that I have in my life today. If I wouldn't have tried things, if I wouldn't have been open-minded, if I wouldn't have been willing, and if I wouldn't have had faith, then I wouldn't have probably 80% of the things that I have in my life today that I love. You know, so when predecessors say, stick and stay, don't leave before the miracle happens, you know, these things all hold weight. It's impossible to know, at least for me, what my life is going to look like again 5 years from now. I can sit here and I can make plans. Sure, that's great. That's good to do. But opportunities come up and different paths can be taken. And when I don't have to worry about one thing all day long, which is using, I have more control of my mind. I have the ability to make more decisions. I have the ability to create relationships in my life that I truly care about. And my life is more full today, and I feel more like myself, and I feel more free and fun than I ever thought that I could feel without using drugs. It's like the exact opposite, essentially, is what has given me what I thought I wanted through drugs for so long. You know, so if you're young in recovery, please stay, because, you know, it, in this room, you'll start to see, it doesn't matter. Like, I have friends that are 45, I have friends that are 20, I have friends that are 18, I have friends that are 67, like, it doesn't matter. Age has never determined my relationships in this program. And I think that's super important, because I felt like that was a big, I was still stuck in that, I can only be friends with people in my age group when I got here, type of mentality. And this program showed me that that's not the case. You know, no one is greater or lesser than here. We are all equal. We're all just another addict trying to get another day clean. Some of us are gonna have good days, some of us are gonna have bad days. Sometimes my sponsor can't answer because he's going through something. Sometimes my sponsor needs help. Guess what? He's a human and he's also another recovering addict. I have to learn to understand that as well. So, you know, like I said, I don't really know what time is supposed to be done, but I think I'm leaning towards the rambling territory, so I'm gonna try to tie things up here. But you know, staying here, even though I was scared and had no idea what was coming, was the best decision I could have ever made. And you know, the gifts of this program continue to prove that to me. And you know, whenever I feel like I'm overwhelmed, whenever I feel like I'm wondering, is all this stress or is all this, that, and the other worth it? I look around at the things that I have in my life today, no matter what that is, and I can usually answer with 100% certainty that yes, this is definitely the best decision I've ever made in my life, is to stay in Narcotics Anonymous, because, you know, now that I've been here for a little while, there's nowhere else that I'd rather be. So that's all I have.